Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach. At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI.
Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and costs while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. We are excited to have you back. It is the middle of June and it's certainly starting to heat up here in Colorado. So hope you guys are staying cool and summer work hasn't hit you too hard. So this week, we are really excited to welcome a new guest to our show. Her name is Kaden, and Kaden and I met in Tulare at World Ag Expo in February. You guys will remember that I had an episode about the work that my company was doing there at the show and promoting our new automation and vision products and trying to do some education around precision technology. So Kaden is an FFA student in California, and she and her chapter stopped by the stand wondering what the heck it was that we were up to, because we had one of our robots there on the stand and it's obviously eye-catching. And so they stopped by and said, hey, what's going on? And as you guys know from lots of episodes where I sing all of the praises about FFA, I could not help myself from having a really good time catching up with some members of my very favorite organization. So Kaden, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. It's really nice to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Kaden, when you and I talked in February, you were getting ready to give a prepared speech, which is a contest in FFA, about ag literacy. So first off, how about you introduce yourself a little bit to us? Tell us about your ag experience, your projects, and what you do in FFA right now.
Okay, so my name is Kaden. I'm 16 years old. I'm currently a junior in FFA. I originally started FFA when I was in eighth grade. My junior high had an eighth grade ag class, and we actually had three teachers. They broke up the entire school year into three sections. And so that class kind of gave me a deep dive into FFA and what it was. And my teachers showed me some of the options that I could take at the high school. And I fell in love with my ag teachers. I fell in love with FFA in that class. I've always had an ag background. I come from a farming family. We farmed almonds and grapes and stone fruit for the most part. I have a little bit of an into cattle industry with some friends, but mainly just stone fruit and almonds that my family farmed. But FFA wise, I decided my eighth grade year that I was going to start showing goats. My best friend and I decided that. When my ag teacher was like, do you guys want to show goats? We looked at each other and we were like, yes, absolutely. So that summer going into my freshman year, I was in the barn and my ag teacher stopped me and was like, well, there's actually the speaking contest. I think you would be really good at it. There's money involved. And I'm like, okay, well, sign me up. I'm always down to get some money. Well, little did I know that would bring my freshman shy self, who is scared to talk to really anyone, out of my comfort zone and into prepared speaking. So prepared speaking, you have about 6 to 8 minutes to talk about any topic in agriculture. So I've talked about women in ag before, and then this year I talked about agricultural literacy. So that was kind of how I started to get involved in FFA. And then my freshman year, I also got involved in citrus judging. And then I got involved into livestock judging, and I was on the green hand officer team. And that also gave me a deep dive into FFA, just being a better leader and being able to serve others, which I really enjoyed doing. Outside of that, I started breeding goats my freshman year too. And then my sophomore year, I got into market lambs and then breeding lambs as well. And so this year, with my junior year coming up to an end, I competed in prepared speaking again. I showed my market lambs and breeding lambs and all my goats at the fair and citrus and livestock judging. And I'm a vice president on the chapter officer team now. So that's just a little bit of what I do in FFA and my ag background.
Well, I think I want to have another episode talking about citrus judging because we don't have citrus in the state of Idaho. So I'm intrigued by that and everything else you're into. It's pretty impressive, your resume, and you're only finishing your junior year of high school. So kudos to you, Caden, for putting yourself out there and learning and growing and doing things that are maybe a little outside your comfort zone, but you've kind of fallen in love with it. Sounds like your passion stems deep in those, as you describe what you're doing with all of that. So kudos to you. I wasn't fortunate enough to have FFA, but I'm working really hard to try to instill an FFA program into my old high school. So it's very impressive, everything you've done. I do have, maybe a high level overview of what your speech was regarding your ag literacy topic and how that related to everything you're up to.
Right. So when I was originally picking a topic, I wanted to pick something that stood out to the judges. In California, we have a lot of water rights issues with our farmers. And so I thought about doing that, but I know a lot of students write about that. And I know that they also write about Prop 12 a lot. And so I wanted to pick something that stood out to the judges, maybe something that they didn't hear as often. Then after I decided that, I decided I wanted to pick an issue in agriculture and something that we could solve it with. And so I was looking at issues in California and then the agricultural industry as a whole, and I came across agricultural literacy, and I was like, well, this is a problem. I know I've seen people before like not understanding the agricultural industry. So in my speech, I listed a couple facts of statistics of 80% of Americans have never seen a cow before. A lot of people think that brown cows make chocolate milk. a lot of people don't know what animal a hamburger came from. And then I explained what agricultural literacy is. And so it's basically the understanding of agriculture and its impact on society. And an average American should be able to explain what agriculture is and why it's important for our society. And then after that, I kind of talked about the problem that we're having of people not knowing what it is and how it's having an impact on us, such as voting rights. People are voting on things that they don't necessarily have the correct information on or any information at all. And then I talked about how we could fix that. So I talked about early exposure to ag. So I talked about how my high school does early exposure to ag with Kindergarten Pumpkin Patch, where we invite over 1,000 kindergartners to come to our high school and see our farm and see our animals and do hands-on activities with us just for a day. Our takeaway with that is early exposure to get them involved and to them realizing that ag isn't just all farming. There's multiple aspects to it. And then we also talked about like making interpersonal connections with elementary school teachers and incorporating ag into their curriculum. But primary teachers have a lot on their plate because they're teaching all the subjects, not just one, when compared to high school teachers. So we gave them resources to help incorporate it into their curriculum without giving them too much work.
That's amazing, Caden. Like, we have a lot of, you know, tension in our industry between, you know, agriculturists and people outside the industry. And, you know, a lot of, they just don't understand us and they don't get it and they never will. And, you know, people outside looking in might think, well, why won't they talk to us? But it sounds like you're really trying to bridge the gap of why ag literacy is important and then taking steps to make sure that developing ag literacy can happen. And I mean, to echo Valley, and kudos to you for doing that, because that is a massive undertaking, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
You think about, you know, less than 2% of the American population are farmers. And that message has to get out to 98% of the population who have a billion other things going on, you know, but their decisions, like you were saying, when they're voting on stuff can directly affect our livelihoods and the way that we can operate. I think that this is a really timely subject. And I'm hearing a lot of like compassion and wanting to bring people into the tent in your voice, which is, you know, I think unfortunately in the past, there's been a lot of contempt, but I'm hearing you saying this needs to happen. How can we make it happen? And where can we go from here? And that's just a really encouraging thing to hear from a young leader such as yourself trying to make a difference. So, I mean, it sounds like your speech is spot on for one of the biggest issues that agriculturists face, right?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, of course. So my question is, now you've done this speech, you've competed, is ag literacy of enough interest to you to take it forward, even if you don't compete in public speaking again? are you thinking about how do I continue doing this? How does this affect what I can do in the future? How do I continue down this path to help agriculture? Are those things that have come up in your mind and are you thinking about them?
They've definitely come up in my mind. When I go to college, I'd like to major in ag ed to be an ag teacher. And so obviously as an ag teacher, we're giving students an insight to the agricultural industry, which most definitely does help bridge the gap of ag literacy. But I've also thought about social media, how so many people, millions and millions of people are on it every second of the day. And there's so many followers on celebrities that a lot of celebrities are against the ag industry. And if we can maybe reach out to them because they have the most followers, if we can change their perspective on the ag industry. And then there's also a lot of farmers too, like the millennial farmer who's on social media posting about his farm and yeah, just ag literacy in general, how we can post more on social media since so many people are on it.
Well, and I think there's this educate the public or tell your story or whatever. And I think it's using the forms of communication that are working with the next generation and working with the influencers. Like, it's still amazing to me that there's people out there that get millions of views on TikTok every day. Like, it just blows my mind that there's that many people looking at a video. But using those forms of media to make a connection rather than educating. And I get, this might be a little bit of a soapbox, but getting frustrated with agriculture for looking down on somebody for having a differing opinion rather than giving them a space to come ask questions or be a safe space to communicate rather than tell them, well, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're dumb, you don't understand. But having that positive dialogue and being a safe space. Do you have any thoughts around that?
No, I definitely agree because I know some people are very much like, well, you're stupid for thinking that and not necessarily like understanding where their perspective is coming from. I think just making interpersonal connections with the public as a whole can help with that. And actually going back to what I said, I've gotten several questions from judges before about my speech. Like, well, how do you reach out to people who aren't on social media? There's several people who still aren't, and there's older people who are not on social media. How do you reach out to them about it? And so we've actually talked about billboards. The Got Milk campaign was really big in the 90s, and it was all over billboards. It's all over today still. And we've talked about newspapers. I mean, people still get the newspaper, and they still listen to the radio every day. If ads are put out on the radio about support local farmers or the agricultural industry as a whole, I think that's also another way to reach out to them.
As a up-and-coming leader in agriculture, not just FFA, but in agriculture, listening to all of your experiences, all the things that you do in FFA, all the things that you're planning, I mean, it's clear already just within, you know, 10 minutes that you were going to be a leader out there for us, which is awesome. We need you. And we need ag teachers, by the way, too. So I am so glad to hear that you're going to major in ag ed.
Thank you.
That'll make my husband happy. He's an advisor, too. So with the challenges out there, with you as an up-and-coming leader, it sounds like you're planning to continue your ag literacy efforts. What do you see as the challenges inside the industry for agriculture looking out, you know, for participation from regular farmers or from, you know, other students in FFA or your neighbors or members of whatever organization out there from an agriculture perspective? Do you think that there's resistance or, you know, people who just don't want to be bothered with this kind of outreach? And what would you say to them or how would you approach trying to help them change their minds and helping them see what the benefit is?
I definitely do think that there is. I've been told that there's a lot of farmers that are stuck in their ways with their farming that necessarily don't want to tell their story and they don't want to be on social media. I think the biggest thing is just making interpersonal connections with them and explaining how it can really benefit them. And that's not really something I've thought about, but I will definitely think about that more. But I just think the biggest thing would probably be making interpersonal connections with them and explaining that we're having this problem in the agriculture industry and that the public isn't seeing what we're seeing. And the only way we're going to fix that is by explaining it and talking to them.
As we're explaining or, you know, encouraging others, there's people, and we've had a few of them on, you know, the Tucker Browns, the Jesse Jarvises of the world that have millions of followers and their full-time job is to social media, right? Like that's their realm and they do amazing. But for the people that don't have the time either, because it's amazing how much time it takes to get in the algorithms, right? Like, is there ways that they can, you know, be involved in their communities and stuff like that or provide content to somebody else to do that rather than having to solely do it on social media?
There's a website that farmers can post on explaining their story, and they don't have to post regularly. They can just talk about their farming every once in a while and what they do as well. And our personal connections is a big one. Every farmer knows people that aren't farmers too. Just by connecting with them and sharing their story can help change their perspective on the agricultural industry. I think newspapers, a lot of people still read the newspaper, and billboards was a big one. I think maybe if we bring that back, because a lot of people, they drive for their work, they drive to the grocery store, they get on the freeway or the highway, and they see billboards. I think that's a big one, and that's an eye catcher. And I think it's just 2 seconds of that. I also think a big one is in grocery stores. There are signs for locally grown or support local farmers. That's a big one because people are more likely to support something that's local. You see small stores everywhere for clothing that's locally made or just local stores in general. People are more likely to support that than they are to buy online. And so I think if we continue to put that in grocery stores as well, I think that's a great way of bridging the gap. And actually on the back of a lot of produce labels, there's facts about the produce. And I think that's also really good in bridging the gap because it's showing people how the produce is grown and how it's taken care of.
These are all really great, you know, additional ways to try and reach out to people and get in touch and, you know, hopefully help farmers understand that they need to be a part of this too. I want to turn now and thinking about, you know, kind of the bigger, longer range picture. So we've talked about your activities and role in FFA, how this topic became of interest to you, ways that you see and that are being done of ways to help improve ag literacy, and then some of the challenges that you see and how they can be addressed. I want to look now. This is a big question, especially for a junior in high school, but I feel like you're of the caliber where you can, you know, we can dig into this together. There's a lot of unrest and craziness in the world, but for agriculture, the future is very, very bright. It always is because people got to eat, right? There is a huge amount of investment going into agriculture, especially in the United States. The United States economy is, you know, starting to boom again. There's a lot of infrastructure investment going on. There's a lot of investment coming in into agriculture in particular to increase production, to be able to meet future global needs of people's calorie needs, right? Of people needing to eat. So as you move along your career path, as you develop and grow, what do you see as like your path and like the necessity of ag literacy information being put out there? Like there's a lot of boom opportunities, a lot of growth opportunities, but in order to be able to take advantage of those opportunities, agriculture has to be able to operate, right? And so we live, in my opinion, in the greatest country in the world. But as you stated earlier, there's a lot of celebrities out there with a really big following who have a stance against production agriculture in some way, shape, or form. So to be able to capitalize on these opportunities that agriculture has to grow and to feed people, to take care of the global population, what is ag literacy's role? What is your role? What are young people's role? And making sure that that message gets out there so that we can continue to feed the world.
I think young people in general, they're almost all on social media. And so I would go back to social media and just explain like, hey, this is farming. This is what it's like. It's not all glorified like we see with AI videos made. This is what it is. And this is how we do it. These are the ups and downs. It's not all bad. And it's not all good. And there's a little bit of both to it.
Touched on AI there for a second, and I've noticed recently on this topic that there's a lot of accounts that I don't even recognize that are sponsored, but they have the AI imaged. I get females with kids and cows, but it's totally fake. Like you can see the farceness of it and how they are touting being a farmer for, you know, or doing whatever they're doing. And so what are your thoughts around that? Because I have my own opinions, both positive and negative around that. But how do we put realness out into the world and verify the realness with AI?
That's a hard one because there is just so much AI and it's sometimes hard to tell what's real and what's not, especially when they make the videos look very real. I don't really know because it's hard to tell sometimes if the videos are real. I think AI definitely does have its advantages in farming, whether it's a farmer using AI to map out his land, and especially with pH and soil levels. I've seen that done before. I also think AI has some negatives to it. I think people can use it to their advantage and make fake videos and be like, this is what agriculture is. And it could be a very negative video. So I think there's a lot of ups and downs. I think AI at some point should be regulated for our use, because people can take advantage of it so easily to make basically anything that they want with it. And they can very easily put negatives of the agricultural industry out there. So I think the use of it should definitely be filtered or regulated at some point.
And that's a whole nother episode. We're going to have you come back for regulation and filtering on AI. And that's not to get too far off on a rabbit trail here, but I work in the AI space for the dairy industry, you know, and using artificial intelligence to help farmers, like you said, to help them improve practices, to help them make decisions based on precision management, all of that sort of stuff. But it comes to education and getting your message out and truth versus lies and facts versus fiction. Everything you lined out is absolutely true. And it's scary, right? Especially when you're trying to do something as noble and critical as feed the world. You know, that's a whole other episode that we are definitely going to have to come back to. But it's like Val said, like you touched on it, and it's a super salient point and, you know, a really good one to bring up to this conversation. It's really important to have as part of any of these conversations, because it's a reality now, right?
Yeah, it's very much a reality. We see AI all the time. We hear about it on the news.
Yeah, there's definitely some scary stuff that can go on there. It can be used for some major, major good, as we're seeing across agriculture and across the world, across, you know, life and culture and society. But also there's some pretty scary stuff there too. So important to take into consideration. Kaden, this is a really great conversation and we're having a lot of fun. I want to know just about your future plans. Like, what are you thinking of next? And does, I know you're talking about being an ag educator, an FFA advisor. What else do you want to do in your future? And how does ag literacy incorporate into that? What are you looking at? What do you want to do and where do you want to be? I know that's a loaded question. Like, I hate the question, where do you want to be 5 years from now? That's silly. But like, what do you see in your big picture?
So after I graduate high school, I plan on attending maybe Fresno State or Cal Poly and majoring in ag ed. I would like a minor in maybe livestock nutrition. And that is something that's very big and something that is needed in the agricultural industry right now. I have a deep interest in that, but I also have a deep interest in just animal science in general and the livestock part of it. And then after I graduate, I would like to be an ag teacher. I think ag teachers have a big part in agricultural literacy, because you do get students that don't come from a farming background and don't come from having other ag classes before. You get, I don't want to say regular kids because that does sound bad, but you get kids that don't have any knowledge on it. And so it's up to the ag teacher to instill that knowledge of the agricultural industry. I've seen it firsthand with my friends not having any background knowledge on the agricultural industry and my ag teachers installing that knowledge into them. So I think that's really cool. And I think ag teachers have a big part in agricultural literacy.
I would totally agree. And I don't know if you have a great answer, but you're located in California and there's a lot of divisiveness, especially around agriculture in the state. You briefly mentioned, you know, like Prop 12 and people voting on things that they don't have any experience on. And so do you think your experience and your answer is different because you live in California, or is this something that, say, a rural state like Iowa or, you know, the Midwest, that all you think about is corn and cows, has to deal with as well?
I don't necessarily think that my answer is different just because of where I live. I mean, it might be a little bit, because in Central California, we are like the whole industry of California is agriculture compared to any other state. So I think maybe a little bit, but I don't want to say because of where I live. I'd say because of my background and having the knowledge, my answer would be different when compared to someone else that necessarily doesn't have the same background as me and doesn't have the same knowledge on the agricultural industry as me, if that makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense. And I think that's a very nuanced way of looking at it. And I don't mean to sound condescending at all. It's really more of like, way to go. That's awesome to hear that perspective from, you know, a 16-year-old in high school. You know, it's a realistic worldview, and it's a very broad perspective. And I think that that's something that we're really lacking in this society across the board. And I know to me personally, it's very, very encouraging to have these kind of conversations with you, with people your age, with people who are doing the same kinds of things that you are, you know, to protect and promote this industry that we've all fallen in love with.
No, I 100% agree with you.
Kaden, this conversation has been absolutely wonderful. And I want, like, looking back to your eighth grade self, what words of wisdom would you have given your eighth grade self when you stepped into the ag classroom for the very first time that you wish you would have known back in eighth grade?
I would probably tell myself, just take every opportunity you can, because you don't know what the opportunity is going to give you in the end. Even if you don't like the opportunity, you're going to learn something from it. You're going to learn something from everything you do, whether you enjoy it or not. And so when I became a freshman, a lot of seniors told the freshman class, take every opportunity you can. So I really did listen to them. I joined a spring CDE and a winter CDE. I did the speaking competitions. I did opening and closing. I ran for those leadership positions. And so far, I'm really glad that I've been able to take every opportunity, because it's grown me as a leader and I've gotten out of my comfort zone and I've been able to talk to people more freely without being so shy. So I would tell myself that without having to be told that from someone else.
Well, I have to say, all of that experience and opportunity taking is showing very clearly through here. You're not coming across as shy or nervous or anything. All of those things have done exactly what they were supposed to. And I'm really glad that you listened to those upperclassmen. I'm in the same boat. I was a very, very shy, very nervous freshman. My advisor got me into speaking contests. And, you know, 15 years later, here we have a podcast, right?
Yeah.
And so I think I love that question from Val. And I love that you took that advice to heart, because it's very obviously paying off. It's coming full circle. You are doing an immense amount of things across the spectrum of the opportunities in FFA. And I just, from my own nostalgic FFA days, I love that you've been able to experience that and that you're getting so much out of it. So Kaden, we cannot thank you enough for joining us. I know it took us quite a while to get our schedules aligned, but thank you for hanging in there with us.
Yes, thank you.
It's been a really great conversation. In my opinion, I think Val will agree that agriculture is in safe hands with yourself up and coming. So thank you so much for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And we thank you, listeners, for tuning into this week. Please go like, rate, and review. It means more to us than you will know, getting the word out and helping promote the future generation of agriculture. Kaden, it's been more than an honor to have you on, and we can't thank you enough. And we hope that you continue to make big strides in the industry like we know you're going to.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom Heron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving. And at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering, and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com. to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.